الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our discussion about أركان الصلاة the pillars of الصلاة and we have been discussing the issue of الركوع والرفع منه the issue of bowing and raising up from the bowing raising up and likewise becoming upright in the manner that one was before he made the ruku' وَسُجُودُ عَلَى الْأَعْضَاءِ السَّبَعَ and also to prostrate upon the seven body parts وَالْإِعْتِدَالُ مِنْهُ and also raising up from that sujood and sitting up straight properly وَالْجِلْسَةُ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ and that one he will sit in the sitting position between the two prostrations and we have seen the evidence that the author he mentioned from the book and from the sunnah with regards to this after this the author he mentioned as well وَطُمَانِينَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَفْعَالِ and to have tranquility and to be still in all of the actions to be still and to have tranquility in all of the actions طُمَانِينَ we seen in our previous class this means السُّكُون that a person, he will come to each pillar and he will get in the position of that pillar and then he will rest there for a moment before moving to the next pillar. He must come to that particular position and then rest there for a moment. So with regards to the ruku', one, he must make the ruku' until he is flat in the ruku' and then rest there for a moment. And then after that, he will raise. And then likewise, he must raise until he is standing straight up properly. And then after that, he must rest there for a moment. So to make the ruku' is a pillar. And to rise from the ruku' until one is standing up straight again properly, this is a pillar. And in addition to these pillars is the issue of al-tumanina, sukun. So this is different. This is extra. The people of Allah, as they say, al-tumanina ziyada ala al-itidal. Ziyada, and it's more than just going back straight. A person has to go back straight or get into the particular position and then rest there for a moment. And we've seen the people of Nod, as they mentioned, that moment is determined by the amount to mention the obligatory supplication or remembrance of that particular position. And long enough to make that dhikr at least one time. So again, in the sujood, he will come to the sujood and he will place himself in that position in the manner that has preceded, and then he has to, along with that, rest there for a moment, long enough to make the prescribed dhikr and remembrance of that particular position. And then he must raise up from the sujood, like he's saying here, وَلِعْتِدَارُ مِنْهُ and that he must raise up until he's sitting up straight. And then after raising up and sitting up straight, then he must perform also along with that atumanina by resting there for a brief moment, at least long enough to make the dhikr that is prescribed in that particular position. So this is a pillar by itself. This is a pillar by itself, atumanina fi jami'i al-af'al, that a person, he will come to this tranquility, meaning that his body will rest briefly for a moment in all of these actions. He will not just simply go to the position and move, rather he will go to the position, get in that position properly, and then rest there for a moment. And then rest there for a moment, and then move to the next position in this manner. And likewise, the author, he mentioned after this, what tartib bayna al-arkan, and that one, he must follow the proper arrangement between the pillars, and he must follow the proper order, between the pillars, and he following the way that is displayed in the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of those pillars. Those pillars have been described in a particular arrangement and specific order that is displayed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not allowed to oppose that order. It's not allowed to oppose or go against that order and arrangement of these pillars. Whether they must follow in the proper manner. So now the author, he says, What dalil hadithu al-musi? And the evidence is the hadith of al-musi. And this is an evidence for all of these pillars. And for the majority of these pillars, they're clarified in this hadith. And this hadith, from the great benefits of that, is the clarification of those actions that must be performed for the prayer to be considered correct. So he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ دخل رجل فصلى فسلم على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال. And he mentions the hadith of Al-Musi, and in the hadith of the one who prayed bad, Al-Musi fi salatihi, the one who prayed bad. It's the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says that one time we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then a man he entered the masjid, and then he prayed. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave him salam. And some of the wordings, فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And some of the wordings that's mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded to his salam. And then he said, فَقَالَ إِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. He said, go back and pray again, because indeed you did not pray. So the man, he went back and prayed again. And then he came back, he did the same thing. He says, فَعَلَهَا ثَلَاثًا. He did this three times. Meaning the man, he came in and he prayed. And then he came and gave salam. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered him to go pray again and informed him that he did not pray, meaning his prayer was not considered a prayer legislatively. It was not considered correct. He needs to repeat it. So this occurred. This dialogue occurred between this man and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three times in thumma qala, until he said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا لَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَ هَذَا فَعَلِّمْنِي. Until after the third time, the man, he says, I swear by the one who sent you with the truth as a prophet, I am not able to do better than this, so therefore teach me. So he says, قال يعني صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فكبر ثم اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, whenever you stand up for the salah, then you make the takbirah, fakabbir. So this is takbiratu al-ihram. Takbiratu al-ihram. So this is a clarification that this is also a pillar. So all of the affairs mentioned here are affairs that must be established for the prayer to be correct. Because this man, he prayed wrong three times. He prayed in a manner that was not considered correct or accepted. Three times. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching him what he needs to do in order for the prayer to be correct. So this is the aspect of proof for this particular narration and these issues of the pillars. And these issues of the pillars and that which is an obligation to be established in the salat. فَكَبِّرْ إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَكَبِّرْ. Whenever you stand up for the salat, then make the takbirah. And some wordings likewise in Al-Bukhari, it says, فَأَسْبِغْ الْوُضُوءِ ثُمِ اسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ فَكَبِّرْ. Whenever you stand up for the salat, then you perform the ablution property. You perform the ablution property, and then you face the qibla, and then you make the takbirah. فَكَبِّرْ يعني فَقُلْ أَللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ يعني which is the opening takbirah, entering into the sacred rites of a salah. ثم اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن. And then after that, you read that which is easy for you from the Qur'an. From the Qur'an. We have seen likewise, there are some wordings that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثم اقرأ الفاتحة. ثم اقرأ الفاتحة وما تيسر معك من القرآن. Then read the Fatiha and that which is easy for you from the Qur'an. In any case, no doubt, after this, the recitation of the Qur'an is the next pillar. ثم ركع حتى تطمئن راكعا. And then you should make the ruku', you should go into the bowing until you are still and resting there. حتى تطمئن راكعا. This is the issue here of الطمأنينة, that you make the ruku' until you have الطمأنينة, meaning حتى تستقر ساكنا, until you are still. You make ruku' until you are in the ruku' and you are still there. And you remain there for a moment. So this is the evidence for that, for the tumanina, in the ruku' specifically. ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل قائما. Then you raise up until you are standing straight back up. So this is the issue, the one that had preceded, that was the issue for the fact that the ruku' is a pillar, and likewise to come into tumanina is a pillar. And then likewise here, raising from the ruku' is mentioned here. He's ordering him to do this. So this is a pillar. حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. Until you stand straight back up. So raising up is one thing and raising straight back up is another. And this is what is intended. And likewise here, one he must have at-tumanina. So he will raise back up until he's standing straight. Until he's standing straight in the manner that he was before. As has preceded in the hadith of Abi Humayd, As-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, he said that حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ كُلُّ فَقَارًا إِلَى مَكَانِهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ كُلُّ فَقَارًا مَكَانَهُ, until every bone in his back returns back to its place. And until he's standing straight back up. So this is the order for this. And this is the clarification that it's a pillar. ثُمَّ اسْجُدْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا. And then you make the prostration until you are still and find tranquility in the prostration. And what is intended again from the tumanina is that he will come there into that position and he will rest. So ثُمَّ اسْجُدْ, and then you make sujood, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا, until you come into the position of prostration and you rest there for a moment and you're still. So this is the pillar of sujood. And likewise in that pillar, it must be one, he must come to at-tumanina, meaning he must come to that position and rest there as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ordering him in this narration. And then he says sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسًا, and then you raise up from the sujood until you become still while you're sitting. So this is also what the author, he mentions the sujood and wa raf'u minhu, the sujood wa raf'u minhu, wa sujood wa i'tidalu minhu, wa i'tidal minhu, that he meant that one, he must make sujood and then he must raise up likewise, that he must raise up likewise all the way, and then also he must sit there between the two. All of this is clarified here. Also to emphasize that which is collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السَّجْدَةِ لَمْ يَسْجُدْ حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ جَالِسًا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would raise his head from the prostration, he would not go back into prostration until he is sitting up straight. So one, he must make the sujood and come into the position of sujood as has been described previously, and he must rest there for that period. He must rest there, bare minimum, for that brief moment, long enough to make the dhikr. And then he must raise up from the sujood until he's sitting back up straight. And then he must rest there again, at least long enough to make the dhikr, that one he says in this position. And then he says, تُمْفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. And then you do this in your prayer in entirety. In Sahih Bukhari, and he is mentioning again, and both sujood. So it says, and he ثُمَّ اسْجُدْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ جَالِسًا ثُمَّ اسْجُدْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ جَالِسًا ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. And he mentioned in the sujood two times, because there is two prostrations. So in the other wording, it mentions that then you make, after the ruku' and raising from the ruku' and coming back up, standing straight back up, then you make sujood until you are resting in sujood. And you remain there briefly, and then you raise up until you're sitting back up straight. And you remain there for a moment, and then you make sujood again until you are in sujood, resting there properly for a moment, and then after that, you stand up and you repeat this same manner in your entire prayer. And you do the same manner throughout the entire prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified for him in this narration how to rectify one rak'ah, how to pray one rak'ah in a manner that would be considered mujzi'an, and in the manner that could be considered that he would have al-ijza', that it would suffice him and it would remove the obligation and fulfill the right of this particular prayer, and it will be considered accepted or correct legislatively. So here we see the majority of these pillars are mentioned clearly here, but also the pillar of at-tartib as well is derived from this narration. Also the pillar of at-tartib as well is derived from this narration, as it has preceded, فَأَسْبِغْ إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَسْبِغْ الْوُضُوعَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلْ الْقِبْلَةِ فَأَسْبِغْ. Kabir. Whenever you stand for the prayer, then you make the ablution properly. And then you face the Qibla. And then you make Takbirat al-Ihram. And so these words here, thumma and alfa, these are huruf, huruf al-ma'ani. These are particles in the Arabic language that have meanings. From the meaning of both of them is at-tartib. Both of them, they have the meaning of at-tartib. Yani meaning that you use these particles here to refer to making an arrangement and an order and performing things. Thumma and alfa, both of them have the same manner, although the fa is coming quicker than the thumma, yani in the arrangement. Both of them have this, the meaning of at-tartib. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, thumma iqra ma tayassara ma'aka min al-Qur'an. Then you read that which is easy for you from the Qur'an. Thumma irka', thumma irfa', thumma sjud, thumma, like this, thumma. In this manner, mentioning this term here, mentioning this word here that has the meaning of at-tartib. The meaning of at-tartib, the meaning of arrangement. So one, he must not go contrary to that. Along with the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And all of those who have narrated the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they narrated in this order. They narrated the description of the prayer in this order. So therefore, it's not allowed to contradict that order and arrangement. And rather, performing it in the proper order is a pillar. Performing it in the proper order is a pillar. So after this, the author, he says, وَتَشَهُدُ الْأَخِيرُ رُكْنٌ وَتَشَهُدُ الْأَخِيرُ رُكْنٌ. And to make a tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud. This is a pillar. This is a pillar. The Fajr prayer, it only has one tashahud. As for the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib and the Isha, they have two tashahud. So the one that is the last one, a tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud. The last tashahud, the one that is before the taslim, this one is considered a pillar. This one is considered a pillar. As for the first tashahud, whenever there is a prayer that has two, then the first one is an obligation and not a pillar. And it will come, inshallah, in the next portion of this work. So the one that is a pillar, the one that is a pillar from the pillars of the prayer is the last tashahud. He says, وَتَشَهُدُ الْأَخِيرُ رُكْنٌ. And the last tashahud is a pillar. So now that which we have left is the 11th pillar, which he's mentioning now, is the tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud. And then after that, al-julusu lahu. Al-julusu lahu. So the tashahud, the last tashahud, this is a pillar, and also sitting for it as well is a pillar. So a person, he must be sitting at this point. And sitting for a tashahud al-akhir is a pillar by consensus of the scholars. So if a person, he made the tashahud while he's standing, it would not be correct. It would not be correct. The tashahud, it must be made while one is sitting. A person, he must make the tashahud. It's a pillar. The person, he must make the tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud, that's a pillar from the prayer. But likewise, sitting in order to make it as well is a pillar. It's a pillar. This is the 12th pillar. This is the 12th pillar. And then after this, we have a salatu ala nabi, to send a salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the 13th. And then the 14th is a taslimatan. And then the 14th is at taslimatan, to make the two taslima on the two taslim on the right and on the left to exit from the prayer. So now the author, he's going to discuss the issue of the 11th pillar. And along with that, we have the 12th pillar. So the 11th and the 12th is at tashahud al-akhir wal-julusu lahu. Wal-julusu lahu. To make the final, the last tashahud, which is also known as at-tahiyyat. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat. And this is called a tashahud, because the best part of that is the tashahud in the end. Whenever one, he will testify and bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. So it's called a tashahud. Also it's called a tahiyyat. Also it's called a tahiyyat. And it's the last one. This is a pillar. And sitting for it likewise is a pillar. So the author, he says, وَتَشَهُدُ الْأَخِيرُ رُكْنٌ كَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أنه قال كنا نقول قبل أن يفرض علينا التشهد السلام على الله من عباده السلام على جبريل وميكائيل فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقولوا السلام على الله من عباده فإن الله هو السلام ولكن قولوا التحيات. يعني till the end of the hadith. So the author, he mentions now that this last tashahud, it is a pillar. This is just as has come in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which is mutafiqun alayhi, that he said that we used to say before the tashahhud was made obligatory. That we used to say, meaning in our prayer before the tashahhud was made obligatory, As-salamu ala Allah. We send as-salam for Allah. As-salam for Allah. And as-salam for Allah from his slaves. And as-salam for Jibreel and Mikael. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not say as-salam for Allah. As-salam to Allah. Because indeed Allah, he is as-salam. Indeed Allah, he is as-salam. He said, but you say at-tahiyyat. You mentioned the tahiyyat. So the evidence for the author here is in two aspects. And the first one is clear, that he said, كُنَّ نَقُولُ قَبَلَ أَن يُفْرَضَ عَلَيْنَا التَّشَهُّد. That we used to say before the tashahhud was made obligatory upon us. So here it's clear that the tashahhud at one time was not obligatory, and then it was prescribed and made obligatory. So therefore it's a pillar. And we know that the terminology of the people of knowledge with regards to the arkan, some of them they refer to them as furud. They have the same meaning. Al-rukn aw al-fard, in the wudu or the tahara or in the salat, they have the same meaning. They have the same meaning. If it's a pillar or if it's a fard, then they have the same meaning. فَكُنَّ نَقُولُ قَبَلَ أَن يُفْرَضَ عَلَيْنَا. That we used to say before it was made fard upon us. And before it was made obligatory and considered a pillar, that we used to say, As-salam to Allah, and As-salam to Jibreel, and As-salam to Mikael, and As-salam to so-and-so, and so-and-so. As-salam to Allah from his slaves, and As-salam to Jibreel, and As-salam to Mikael. And they would also say, As-salam to so-and-so, and to so-and-so. As-salam to so-and-so, and to so-and-so. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not say, لا تقولوا السلام على الله. Do not say, As-salam to Allah. And you do not make dua for Allah to have as-salam. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّلَامِ. Because Allah, he is as-salam. So whenever somebody, he says, as-salamu alaykum, for example, as-salamu ala fulan, as-salamu alayka ya akhi, as-salamu alaykum. In this manner like this, this is to make dua for them. To make dua for them to have as-salama. And as-salama means to have safety and security, and to have peace, and to be free from troubles and from hardship and from any fault and the likes like this, that a person, he'll be free and safe from all harms and all danger and all problems and all issues. That's what it means. Assalamu alaykum. And that may some they say, peace be upon you. But as-salama is to be free from hardship and difficulty, to be free from a mistake, to be free from any harm and the likes like this, to be in a state of peace. So Allah, who is salam? Allah, he is as-salam. Allah, he is the one who is free from all defects and free from all shortcomings. He is the one who has a life that is perfect and knowledge and wisdom that is perfect. He is the one who has the attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is as-salam. He is al-quddus, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of that. And he is the one who gives peace, and he is the one who gives safety, and he is the one who gives security, and he is the one who protects people from faults and from harms, and from hardship and from danger. So one does not make dua for Allah. Rather, Allah, he is the one who is called upon. As-salamu alaykum. This is a dua. So Allah, you don't make dua for him, you make dua to him. You ask from him. He is the one who bestows salama. He is the one who bestows peace. He is the one who bestows safety and security. He is the one who protects people from faults and mistakes and errors, and from hardship and from danger. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تقولوا As-salamu ala Allah, fa'inna allaha huwa as-salam. Fa'inna allaha huwa as-salam. Because Allah, he is as-salam. So then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walakin qulu. Walakin qulu. So here there is an order. But you must say. And instead of saying that, you must say. So now this is a clarification that this is the time that this tashahhud and this dhikr was made obligatory. So he said before it was made obligatory. So that means it was made obligatory. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's ordering in this manner. Walakin qulu. This is fi'lu amrin. This is an order. This is a command. This is a command verb. So this is an indication that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordering for them to say. So this is another aspect that it's an obligation. This is another aspect that it's an obligation. Rather, this is from the pillars, as we have seen. As we have seen. So then he mentioned the at-tahiyyat and the manner of how to make at-tashahhud. The manner of how to make at-tashahhud. The wording of the tashahhud has come from a number of companions. It has come from Ibn Mas'ud, and has come from Ibn Abbas, and it has come from Aisha, radiallahu anhum jami'an. And some of them are slightly different. Some of them are slightly different. In order to fulfill the pillar, one, he must recite one of these authentic tashahud that has been affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from one of these companions. Any one of these tashahud would suffice and be correct, and he will fulfill the pillar in that manner. It would not suffice him to say anything else. Rather, he must say these particular adhkar, one of them. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the best of them is the one of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The best of them is the one that is mentioned here by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, because of how it contains a number of different sentences. Each sentence has its own meaning. Each sentence has its own meaning. And these sentences are separated with the waw. With the waw. It's mentioned that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud likewise radiallahu anhu used to take his students to account and for the waw. And he would check them whenever he would teach them the tashahud. If they put the waw or did not put the waw in the right place, he would check them and stop them and correct them. And some wordings of this narration in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he says, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ وَكَفِّي بَيْنَ كَفَيْهِ التَّشَهُدَ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنِي السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. He said that the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he taught me, and my hand is between his two hands. The Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he taught me while my hand is in between his two hands. While my hand is in between his two hands at tashahud. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu this tashahud in this manner, taking him by the hand and holding his hand in his two noble hands sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing great care and concern and also yani love and attention for this affair, for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu specifically, and likewise for the issue of a tashahud. He says, he taught me in this manner. He taught me while my hand is between his two hands, the same way that he would teach me a chapter from the Quran. The same way that he would teach me a chapter from the Quran. So these adhkar here, they must be memorized and learned precisely. They must be memorized and learned precisely. The adhkar of the salawat, they must be memorized and learned precisely. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught him in this manner. He's saying in the same manner that he would teach me a chapter from the Quran. Rather, likewise in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, in his wording of the tahiyyat, he says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُنَا التَّشَهُودَ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to teach us the tashahud the same way that he would teach us a chapter from the Quran. The same way that he would teach us a chapter from the Quran, meaning that he would be precise and diligent with regards to this. And again, to emphasize, these affairs here are revelation. The sunnah is revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, this is worship that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obligations that must be fulfilled, rights that must be established, and the proper manner to establish them was revealed by the one who obligated them, the Lord of the worlds, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, one, he must learn these adhkar precisely. Precisely. And then also after that, just as one, he will have great diligence to learn the wording of these adhkar precisely, he will also have a great diligence to understand what he's saying. So the fact that there was so much emphasis on learning them word by word precisely in this manner, and two noble companions, they mentioned the same thing, that they would be taught this tashahud the same way they were taught the Quran. Meaning it's not allowed to make a mistake in the Qur'an intentionally, or to be negligent and the likes like this. And whenever somebody is learning the Qur'an, he will be taught properly. And if he makes a mistake, he'll be corrected until he memorizes it correctly. So likewise the tashahud. Likewise the tashahud. Rather, likewise the adhkar that have come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general. In general. So this is showing the importance of this affair. This is showing the importance of the tashahud specifically, and the status, and that we should learn in this manner. In any case, the one that was taught to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this is the one that is most virtuous. Although if a person, he learned any one of these that are authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would suffice. The people of knowledge, they recommend to learn a number of them. They recommend to learn a number of them and to change them from time to time. The one time say the one of Ibn Mas'ud, another time to say the one of Aisha, another time to say the one of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, like this, to change any from prayer to prayer. Not all in one prayer, but rather one time, tashahud, one form of that, and one prayer, and another form and another prayer. Any two gather between the sunnah. But if a person is only to suffice with one, if he was going to suffice with one, or he could only memorize and learn one, he will strive to learn the one here of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Also in Bukhari and Muslim, from some wordings of this narration, he says he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا قَعَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيَقُولْ التَّحَيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ. That whenever one of you sits down for in the prayer, then he should say, and then he mentioned التَّحَيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ. So this is a clarification likewise that it's said while one is sitting. It's said while one is sitting. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again he mentioned, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every description of his prayer, he made the tashahud while he's sitting. While he's sitting. At tashahud akhir, while he's sitting. And the tashahud at awwal, the first tashahud likewise, while he's sitting. While he's sitting. So the tashahud is a pillar here, the last one. And sitting for that also is a pillar. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed these affairs in all of his salawat, and all of those who have described the description of the prayer of the Prophet, they described it in this manner. This is an indication that it must be in this way. This is an issue that people of knowledge, they call it al-muwadhabah. Al-muwadhabah, it means that something that is done consistently and consecutively over and over and over and never changes. So whenever we look into the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are certain portions of the prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yuwadhibu alayha. He made al-muwadhaba on these things. And from that, the tashahud al-akhir and sitting for it. And sitting for it. So from here we see that it is an obligation. That it is obligation. Any meaning it's a pillar. Meaning it's a pillar. It's fard. As has come in this hadith. So the form of that is at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is the form التحيات لله. The author is going to interpret now the meaning of these sentences and the meaning of التشهد. So the translation will come inshallah along with the explanation of the author. He says ومعنى التحيات. وَمَعْنَى التَّحِيَّاتِ. The meaning of التَّحِيَّاتِ. Whenever we say it in the التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ. التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ. The author, he's telling us now the meaning of this word here. التَّحِيَّاتِ جَمِيعُ التَّعْظِيمَاتِ لِلَّهِ مُلْكًا وَاسْتِحْقَاقًا مِثْرُ الْإِنْحِنَاءِ وَالْخُضُوعِ وَالرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ وَالْبَقَاءِ وَالدَّوَامِ. وَالْبَقَاءِ وَالدَّوَامِ. He says that all of the means of veneration and magnification are for Allah. That meaning that they belong to Him. They belong to Him and they're right. They're His right. They belong to Him and they're His right. Oh, جَمِيعُ التَّعْظِيمَاتِ. التَّحِيَّاتِ, what does this mean? All of the means of magnification, glorification, and veneration. All of them, they belong to Allah. And meaning that He owns them. They're His. Because He is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They belong to Him and they are His rightfully. They are His rightfully. So this is with regards to the hayat. And also with regards to the karimat, and also with regards to the karimat, all of the means of veneration and glorification and magnification, they're the right of Allah and they belong to Him. And from action and circumstances the person he may be in, and likewise from statements and speech, all of the statements and speech of praise and veneration and magnification, they're the right of Allah and they belong to Him. They are the right of Allah and they belong to Him. All of the actions and the circumstances or situations a person he can be in that clarify or that would be a means to display magnification and veneration and glorification, this all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's His right. It's His right. He says, like bowing and like being humble and making ruku' and making sujood. And this is with regards to the actions. With regards to the actions, but also the statements as well. All of the statements of praise and veneration and glorification and magnification, all of those statements, they're the right of Allah. They belong to Him. At-tahiyyatu lillah. At-tahiyyatu lillah. All of the means of glorification, all of the means of magnification, veneration, All of the means of praise, they belong to Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it's with statement and speech or action and deed. Whether it's with regards to statement and speech or action and deed. He says likewise here, وَالْبَقَى وَالْدَوَامْ. Also, al-baqa wa al-dawam, meaning that Allah, He remains and He exists forever. This is His right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's alive and never dies. So therefore, all of the tahiyyat, all of the praise, all of the magnification, all of the veneration, all of the glorification in statement and action and speech and likewise indeed, all of it is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal and it belongs to Him. He says, وَجَمِيعُ مَا يُعَظَّمُ بِهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ فَهُوَ لِلَّهِ فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ. Everything that the Lord of the worlds, He's praised with and venerated by way of and magnified by way of, all of that is the right of Allah. All of that is the right of Allah. So therefore, whoever directs anything from this praise or anything from this tahiyyat, anything from these actions of servitude and glorification, and anything from these actions of praise and magnification or statements likewise that are directed to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then indeed he has made shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal and he is considered a mushrik waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So at tahiyyat, the right of Rabbul Alameen. Allah, He's the Lord of the worlds. All of this creation belongs to Him. He is the one who has the attributes of perfection. If we just go back to the interpretation of the Fatiha, now we'll realize why we say this. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din. These beautiful attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and His high lofty status and rank and who He is, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now when he realizes, At-Tahiyyatu Lillah. At-Tahiyyat Lillah. So this is what he's saying here. So all of those things that the Lord of the world is praised and venerated and magnified by, it's all for Allah. It's all for Allah. It's because He's the Lord. He's the Rabb. He's the Malik. He is the Master and He is the Provider and Sustainer. And He is the one who has ultimate supreme and authority. So therefore, all of these means of magnification and veneration belong to Him and they're His right alone. And to direct anything from that to other than Allah is an action of shirk wa liyadu billah. Wa liyadu billah. So then he says, وَالصَّلَوَاتُ مَعْنَاهَا جَمِيعُ دَعَوَاتِ وَقِيلَ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ. He says, وَالصَّلَوَاتُ, يعني we say, التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَوَاتُ, يعني وَالصَّلَوَاتُ أَيْضًا لِلَّهِ الصَّلَوَاتُ, يعني mean and all of the prayers. He's saying the meaning here of a salawat, jami'u da'awat, all of the invocations and supplications. All of the supplications and invocations. He said it's mentioned likewise, what is intended here, the five daily prayers. In reality, all of that is included. All of that, the five daily prayers are for Allah, and all of the supplications and invocations, they are for Allah. They are for Allah, they are His right, and they belong to Him, and they belong to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will continue from this point in our class tomorrow, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As for now, I would like to remind myself and my noble brothers and advise the believers briefly about the situation in the days that we are in. And in the early times of the Tabi'een, there were great fitna that were occurring, trials and bloodshed in the ranks of the believers. And even in those days, it was very severe because that bloodshed was occurring between the Muslims. One of the people of knowledge from the Tabi'een, his name is Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the Tabi'een. He was asked about how to be safe from the trials. And in those days, Abdurrahman ibn Ash'ath, he had revolted against al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, yani who was a tyrant and who was murdering the believers. And he's the one who murdered Abdullah ibn Zubayr and other than him, radiallahu anhumah, and Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, and a number of the scholars of hadith likewise. And it was a great fitna. So Abdurrahman ibn Ash'ath, he revolted, and he was not patient, and there was much bloodshed because of that. So some of the students of knowledge, they came to Talq ibn Habib, and they asked him, كَيْفَ نَتَّقِيَ الْفِتْنَةِ, how are we going to be protected and safe from the fitna? So he said, اِتَّقُوهَا بِالتَّقْوَى, you protect yourself from the fitna with taqwa. With taqwa, yani with the piety and the fear of Allah. So they said, صِفْ لَنَا التَّقْوَى, describe for us, what is taqwa? So my point to make here is that this is the way out from the fitna. He's asked, how do we stay safe from this fitna? How do we keep our hands safe, our deen safe, our family safe? How do we keep our community safe? How do we keep ourselves safe from these trials? He said that by way of a taqwa. By way of a taqwa. They said, describe for me what is a taqwa. He said, in ta'amal ala طاعة الله بنور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. That you work in the obedience of Allah upon light from Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah. وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله مخافة عذاب الله. And that you leave the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah in fear of the punishment of Allah. So this is the means to be safe from the fitan. So in these days there are great fitan, and this is something that we know, and that which is happening in Palestine is a great fitna. It's a great fitna. We ask Allah to raise that from our brothers and to protect our brothers from the believers, those who testify to the oneness of Allah and to the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who testify to the companionship of all of the companions radiyallahu anhum, and testify to the khilafah and the imamah and the wilayah of Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali. We make dua for them that they will be firm and steadfast and that they will be safe. That they will be firm and steadfast and that they will be safe. But my point now to make is as an admonition that we have to fear Allah. We have to fear Allah. So there are means that are lawful for us to take in the likes of this situation, and there are means that are not lawful for us to take in the likes of this situation. So the way to be safe from this fitna is to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Do not let your hatred, do not let your hatred for a people cause you to transgress the limits. Rather, be just. Rather, be just. And being just is closer to taqwa. It's closer to taqwa. So we cannot let our emotions get a hold of us and then violate the rights and go doing single-handed acts of violence and rogue missions and the likes like this, killing innocent people or the likes, or doing acts of terrorism or fighting and the likes like this, even if they do that to us. Even if they do that to us. And we've seen that there's some people doing the likes of this, harming the believers in America for this reason. So we cannot retaliate in this manner. This is not from our religion. It's not from our deen. No doubt we dislike what they're doing and we hate them for that. And it's known about them like in the first place. The Jews, it's known. We know who they are and what they're about. And the disbelievers likewise. So the point is that a person, he cannot transgress the limits. He cannot transgress the limits. He cannot violate the limits and the rights that Allah has established for the people. It's not allowed for us to go to a Jewish place of worship and to harm them or to cheat them or to lie to them or to rob them or to spill their blood or anyone else here in America. This is not allowed for us to harm civilians and innocent people. This is not from our deen. This is not from the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can't take our anger out on anybody or on individuals, even if they're Jews. This is not allowed. This is not allowed in the deen of Allah. We have to fear Allah with regards to this and follow our religion and our deen and check our emotions and our desires with the reins of the legislation. This is number one. Number two, likewise, we should not go into another type of deviation in that, which is what many people they're doing today, and they're having a worldly day of fasting. The Muslims are going to get together all over the world and they're going to fast. This is an innovation. This is not a means to rectify the affair. Others, they're having special nights. They're gathering in the masajid. They're gathering in the masajid. They're saying on this particular night, we're going to gather in the masjid and we're all going to pray the night prayer together and we're going to make dua kunut on this night. And they set the night and they set the date and they set the masjid and they're all going to come to that place. All of this is falsehood and all of this is contrary to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In reality, all of this is the reason why we're facing what we're facing. Ignorance. Ignorance. Allah, He says, "In tansur Allah yansurkum, wuthabbit aqdamakum." If you aid Allah, meaning if you aid His religion by establishing His deen in your life properly, without desires and whims, holding fast to the legislation restrictedly, taking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model absolutely, following him in every affair, in creed and belief, and methodology and manners and worship, in all aspects, then Allah, He would help you and He will aid you and make your feet firm. As for doing innovations, having a world day of fasting, all the people in the world are going to fast on this one day, and then make dua and expect Allah to help us, Allah will not help us. And this is the reason why we're in the humiliation that we're in today, because we have left the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have turned away from the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, this call to make the night prayer all together in the masjid on one special night, this is all falsehood. Don't fall for this. Don't fall for this. We should not let our desires take us to transgress the limits against the blood and the property and the wealth of others unlawfully in night. Likewise, to transgress the limits and innovate innovations thinking that Allah is going to help us and to save us. Innovations are never a means to aim the pleasure or the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Lastly, I apologize for taking the time. Barakallahu feekum. No doubt we want to help our brothers as much as we can. Making dua, this is the way. This is the way. This is what we're all capable of doing. And then likewise, if we have the financial ability to help them, we should do that. But my point now is that we should be cautious. Because there are many deviant sects that take advantage of this situation here, and they have organizations collecting money, and many times that money does not go to the proper sources. So if you have money and you're able to help, then you help, but you do not put the money in any account. You do not give the money to any hand. Rather, it has to be yet Amina, somebody who's trustworthy, somebody who know that their organization is proper, or that they're themselves, they're trustworthy and reliable. We don't just go to any website that says Help Philistine, or anybody who makes a nice big flyer in the internet and has an account, or a Zelle and the likes like this, and give them our money. We do not do this. Whether we give our charity, yes, and we help our brothers, but we make sure it goes to the hands of the right people, especially in these days. They're deviants, Ikhwan Muslimun, they're diligent, and they're helpers and likes like this, and they're the ones causing much of this fitna. And they get the money of the believers and they use it in manners that are not lawful. So be cautious and be careful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify our affairs and the affairs of the ummah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.